We're comparing the investment prospects of business development companies and muni bond closed-end funds with John Cole Scott of Closed-End Fund Advisors. Welcome to The Navigator. This is The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of closed-end funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed-end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, the Navigator is going to point you in the right direction. Joining me today, John Cole Scott, president at Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, which is online at cefadvisors.com. But we're about to dig into funds using the firm's research, and you can do that yourself by going to cefdata.com. John is also the chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance, and you can use their website, aicalliance.org, to learn all about the basics of closed end funds, business development companies, interval funds, and more. John Cole Scott, great to have you back on The Navigator.
Always good to be here, Chuck.
I'm really excited for this one because we are talking about two asset classes that, under normal circumstances, I don't think I hear about them that often. But of late, because of where rates are and what's been going on and Fed not cutting and all the rest of it, I'm getting a bunch of questions about where are you on muni bond funds and what's going on with BDCs as alternatives for generating income right now. So let's dig in. They're very different asset classes, but they're both something that you might look for yield. And do you want one, the other, or both? Do you favor one, the other, or both in this environment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, historically, correlations between muni bond funds and BDCs on a quarterly basis are like 16%. It's the lowest correlation in our universe. If you think about them, they're both levered fund vehicles, but the BDCs are mostly full of variable rate loans and munis are mostly full of long duration bonds. And so they tend to move very differently, both in economic cycles and with interest rates.
They move differently. But as I watch, they do kind of respond to interest rates as you would expect them to respond to interest rates similarly. It's maybe the volatility for one versus the rest might surprise you, et cetera. So help us understand what we're looking at in this environment and what you expect each asset class to do if we watch just a little bit of Fed action. What's your expectation?
So, I mean, right now, the BDC universe of 47 funds is yielding around 11%. We're about halfway through the earnings quarter, which we've done roughly in the next 10 days in our CEF data system. Dividend coverage is still like 127% for the universe. Non-accruals, which are the non-payment of loans, is ticking around 1.43%. We think possibly by the earnings season, they'll be on the other side of 1.5. You know, there's been a little bit more trickling in of some bankruptcies across the space, but we've been on the show for a long time talking about BDCs and how the managers have been marking down some of these loans. They're actually reducing the net asset value for an expected loss. That's an unrealized loss on the balance sheet of around 3 to 4%, not uncommon through a non-benign market environment. And so I do feel that they're positioned for what we think could happen with bumps and bruises. And leverage-wise, that BDCs, because they can go higher than regular bond funds, are 52%, which is still nowhere near the leverage you see in like mortgage REITs and on the bank's balance sheet.
What's the take on the muni bond space and what we should expect from it?
So the muni bond sector is about a 5 yield for the universe, about 108 funds that we track, currently running a 10 discount versus BDCs are back above premiums, which is normal for them. The duration's average is 12, but of course there's a wide mix of durations across that average. And those funds have delevered a little bit and not added new leverage as prices have come up a bit. So the leverage is around 31%. And again, because of the different fundamentals under the hood of each fund structure, in the last 3 years, muni bond funds, their distributions are down about 18% as a universe, and BDCs are about 20%. However, in the current earnings quarter, there's been only two small increases for BDCs, and we've actually seen some more solid increases recently in muni funds as much of their leverage starts to become more profitable towards their average cost of, you know, investment in the universe.
Let's talk about some of your favorites in each place and maybe do that cross comparison.
We often like to say we always focus on discounts and yield. It's more than the top line. We go under the hood in those data points. But we also remind people we're also a NAV. We're a fundamental investor. And so we like to tell stories of funds that are different but could look the same to investors. So one fund that they may be familiar with. It's MIO. It's one of the CEF 2.0 funds that's kind of had a terrible IPO experience. It yields about 4.5%. Its discounts around 12, but its duration is 7.7 because its leverage is under 11%. And so it's really a great way to think of a discounted closing fund where you want less duration and you want less leverage. And the tailwind is it's more susceptible to activism based on that terrible IPO experience. And so this potentially put from any of the investors that could press on it going forward. On the other side is VFL. It's an Aberdeen closing fund. It's not a CEF 2.0. It's a takeover of Aberdeen of a previous manager. It's a 15 discount, that same 4 and mid-change yield, but its leverage is 40.17%, and its duration is 17. It literally is the highest duration in the universe, and MIO is one of the lowest. And I like to compare them because you can say, hey, discounted closing funds yielding 4.5, but you're going to pick one over the other differently based on your opinion about interest rates in the next 3 to 9 months.
That's on the muni bond space. What about the BDC space?
There's a lot of wonderful BDCs out there, but we like to focus on some uncovered gems or those that are not pristine and perfect. There's Cion, C-I-O-N. It was a direct listing of a non-traded BDC. It's trading around a 30 discount with a 12 and change yield, really having a lot of wiggle room and problems to work out with lots of coverage in its payment to investors. The reason why it's sticking down there in our experience is it's not the highest brand name manager in the space. And also a lot of investors were really wanted out of the non-listed structure. And so they're still rotating through the shareholder base. And that usually has a while until the BDC will trade closer to its peer group. And the other side is a little bit older BDC, but still newer to the space, Trinity Capital, T-R-I-N. It trades on a 9 premium, but its internal management, which is usually valuable by investors to 15-20% versus external management of BDCs, which means the costs are billed as a, not as a percentage, but as a direct cost. It's a much higher yielding portfolio, yields about 14, because it goes after some higher yielding investments. And it's had a good run, and it's really proven to use the BDC structure well. But these are definitely not Ares Capital, Blackstone, the middle of the road solid, but they're interesting companion BDCs to look at higher yield with a focus or a deeper discount with a possible tailwind.
That's really that decision that somebody's got to make. If you're looking in this space, you could go with both, obviously, and that's just diversifying further, but it's the discount versus the higher yield, which are you more comfortable playing into, right?
Our portfolios, as you know, are 30 to 45 positions. When we own BDCs, it's often 4 to 6, maybe 7. During carnage periods, we always tell our clients and prospects before they become our clients, you're not going to enjoy down markets, but we do our best work there because everything tends to fall at the same level, and you can sift through for those fallen angels, as some people will call them, to find the right spots. And looking at these BDCs, if you break down the leverage adjusted NAV yield, which is in simple terms what the manager has to hit to meet the board of directors policy, Cion is a 5.4 and Trinity is a 10.4. So almost double. And yet both are covering their dividend because they're doing very different things. And that's why you can't just call a BDC the same. It's as different as any other sector of unique opportunities.
Always interesting when we get a chance to catch up, John. Thanks so much for joining me. We'll talk to you again soon.
Oh, it's great being here, Chuck.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. And yes, that is me. You can learn all about my work, my hour-long weekday show, by going to moneylifeshow.com or by searching wherever you find your favorite podcasts. To learn more about closed-end funds and business development companies, check out AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance, on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. Thanks to my guest, John Cole Scott. He's president of Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia. He's also chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance. His firm is online at cefadvisors.com, and you can dig into all the data he was talking about here today by going to cefdata.com. John's on Twitter, too. He's at John Cole Scott. The Navigator podcast is available every Friday. Make sure you don't miss anything by following along on your favorite podcast app. We'll be back next week, and until then, happy investing, everybody.